Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buccos off last night. Big series starting tonight against Tampa. It's big because they're all big. And it's big because Tampa is below 500. You're at home and you've got Jones and Skeens going in this series. I thought the Red Series for a matchup in June was must win. They did win it. I think this one's must win too. Get yourself a 4-2 homestand before you go out to Great American Ballpark and take on those Red Legs again. And I think tonight you said, Doran, you saw it's going to be a bullpen game, Luis Ortiz.
I believe, yes.
People have asked me, by the way. I just did it. I just noticed myself doing it. I've been sniffing into the microphone a lot. Yeah.
Burped into it earlier.
I did burp into it. I've had multiple texters from multiple numbers saying, why are you sniffing into the microphone? Allergies.
And they know it's you. What if it was me?
Could have been you.
Right.
But it is me.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not me.
I like to do that sometimes after a joke. Just let it sit in you.
You do that a lot.
Do one of these. That's like a nervous tick kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of an allergy kind of deal. Yes, Nick?
You're something, you know.
Why is that? Yeah. So we got a lot of Bucco talk here for you in this hour. It's not the halfway point, but again, they didn't play last night, and the second half of the season rapidly approaching, so it feels like a good time to do a little Bucco report card at darn near the midway point. Who is living up to expectations? Who is exceeding expectations, who is underperforming, who is woefully underperforming, and you can chime in on this, you can have fun with us. On Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net, and on the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I just pulled up the stats on baseballreference.com, so we'll just roll through, no order necessarily in particular, we'll get to everybody who has had a big say in where the Pirates are. Let's just start because he's right at the top. Yasmani Grandal, 189 batting average, 214 OBP, a 509 OPS. But every time a Pirates pitcher spins one out there and they're asked about the rapport, they gush about Yasmani Grandal. So like my personal grade on the guy would be, man, you have brought nothing with the stick. Occasional power here and there. But all of your pitchers love you. I guess I got to go C minus?
That's exactly where I was at. He does get some hits sometimes, and I don't know. It's like weird. Like, whenever he's at the plate, sometimes I just, like, know he's going to get a hit. I don't know. I just, like, okay, he's going to get a hit, and he can, you know, he shoots one into the gap, and he gets on first base. But, like, yeah, I'm at C minus. I think he's done a decent job. I mean, he's kind of kept him afloat with, you know, Henry Davis, you know, being hurt. Henry Davis, you know, stinking. Henry Davis getting sitting back down. Right. Jason DeLay being hurt. Joey Bart being hurt. Like, he's kind of kept him afloat at the catcher position. Like, where would they be at if they didn't have him whenever he came back from his injury?
I'm with you because you cannot discount what he's meant for the pitching staff. And albeit for me to say that when Mitch Keller sings his praises or Paul Skeen sings his praises, that me in the radio world, I'm going to say, oh, that guy sucks. Well, no, they obviously think he's got value. Now, Austin Hedges last year, I guess I did crush. So if I want to be consistent, that's why I'll go with the C minus on Yasmani Grandal. But if we're grading the catcher position as a whole, 189 for Yasmani Grandal. Grant Cope came up for a minute and played three games. He hit .000. Mm. Jason DeLay is hitting .111. Henry Davis has been an absolute disaster, hitting .153. The only catcher who has hit the ball, and actually if he would qualify, would lead the team in OPS, is Joey Bart, who's on the IL. He's hitting .267. But apart from Joey Bart, who they accidentally basically lucked into, the catchers, I'd have to look, they have to have the worst hitting catchers in the entire sport.
Where would they be at if Andy Rodriguez didn't get hurt?
Man.
Honestly. Like, that is the reason why this has spiraled out of control.
That's kinda true.
But, you know, what was his average last year? I mean, he was okay.
It was not good.
It wasn't good.
It was not good, but he was banged up.
He was banged up. So say he was healthy this year, like, and he probably would get better. I mean, he's a young player.
He was a defensive player, though.
Like, he was.
His defense was highly praised.
Yes.
Like, he was the almost antithesis of Henry Davis, although at lower levels his bat did play. If it was Henry Davis and Andy Rodriguez, but Andy was playing 4 days a week, you might be in a much better position
much better.
Right now.
I believe so. Much better.
And when you're a small market team, I know people don't like to hear this, but an injury like that's going to make a big difference. Like, losing a Johan Oviedo in the starting rotation and a Mike Burrows who would be further along in his development, things like that make a huge, huge difference. So I want to crush them for the catcher position. I will crush them for the way that they handled Henry Davis. Go play the outfield, all that stuff that happened last year. Like, he might be struggling as much as he has this year because they've handled him the wrong way. I don't know how you can look at him if we're just on catchers and we're giving out grades. Can it be higher than an F? Like, I do blame them in some way for him, but you've hit your entire life and you're hitting .153, and every time you go up there, it looks like you're going to squeeze the bat into sawdust. I think he has to be an F or an F minus. He has to be a Z.
I'm going to get him a D.
What?
Well, because I don't think the plans for him were so altered whenever there was that injury. Like, he was not planning to probably catch that much this year. He's probably planning to play right field a lot or DH at times. And I think whenever he isn't able to focus on one thing, that's whenever he gets erratic. And he just so much pressure overanalyzes things. And that's why he's in this situation. So I'll give him at least a D because he was thrust into a role way too early and way too, just because they had to do
it. It's kind of Kenny Pickett-ish.
Yes.
Like, you have to have personal responsibility and you have to own your suckage, but you also have to rip the organization a little bit. So I understand why you give him a D. I can't watch him. He is hard to watch because you know how hard he works.
Right.
And you know how much he wants it. And I think that's part of the problem is he puts all this pressure on himself. And maybe wear batting gloves. Try that out too.
I'd be more hard on him if the rest of the team wasn't also struggling.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that, you know, there were several struggles. Guys got sent down and some guys came back up and started hitting. So,
But a few of those guys at least have turned it around. Brian Reynolds has turned it around. O'Neill Cruz has turned it around. Rowdy Tellez has turned it around. Andrew McCutchen has turned it around in a big way.
My point is that there's so many factors with him that it's hard to really feel like his expectations were super high. I get the 1-1 overall pick.
He had a great spring training.
That too.
Like, that's why I thought, and we talked to guys like Wehner and Neil Walker who thought this guy could hit 20 bombs
right,
this year.
Right.
And he would probably hit 20 bombs at AAA. He ain't doing jack up here.
D-minus from Gallus.
All right.
Yeah, that's about right for me.
I can see that because the organization is absolutely not blameless when it comes to that guy. Rowdy Tellez. The last 20 days don't make up for the first 2 months to me. You lost games in the first 2 months because that guy couldn't hit.
I'm going to give him D plus, because for the money that they paid for him,
mm-hmm.
$3.2 million for him to platoon, and I think that you say the last, month it hasn't made up for the first 2 months or whatever?
Right.
I think that the next month will end up making for an evening everything out. I can't say the word. How do I say it? Evening.
That's okay.
Evening. evening. Everything out. Yes. So, D+. Sorry.
I can't go higher than a D. And we're parsing here. We're just trying to have some nice baseball talk for an hour here. D plus. We all know he's underachieved. I give him marks though for he heard the boos. He should have, in my opinion, been DFA'd. Like, they're lucking into him now hitting the ball and hitting the cover off the ball in June. Like, they're going to look at it as being proven right. I think that's bad process. When a guy sucks for 2 months, he's not on my team for the third month. When you're only paying him $3.2 million, I would eat that. But I will absolutely give him credit for not only battling through the personal struggles of really not being a useful player at all, being a detriment to your winning efforts, and then also no player in years has heard it from the fans the way Rowdy Tellez has.
Yep.
Austin Hedges didn't get it as bad from the fans last year as Rowdy Tellez did because of the whole David Bednar thing. Callis, you going to give your big guy some love?
No. The average. He should be hitting 30 home runs this season. That's what they paid him to do.
When they signed him, they did so, you're right, hoping he would revert back to the form he had 2 years ago. And he's not come close to that. You know, his OPS recently just bumped up above 605. His OPS plus is 74. That means he is 26% below league average at the plate. That's just not good enough. You want to play with us? 412-928-9370. Texter, Adam, why do you keep sniffing loudly into the mic? Well, now I'm leaning into it. That's what's happening. Yeah. That's what's happening there. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. We're grading the Buccos, not quite at the midway point, but basically at the midway point. Feels like a good stopping point to talk about the Pirates in full form. We'll grade some other guys coming up next. People are already weighing in on the text line, grading Derek Shelton and Ben Cherington. We'll do that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
As well. Buccos off yesterday. They open up a series against the Rays tonight, a big series for this team. Jones and Skeens going to get the ball in two of these games. Tonight, looking like it'll be a bullpen game. Must win this series, I think, at home. But it's a nice stopping point to reflect on most of the first half of the 2024 season. So we're grading players, and if you want to chime in, you can at 412-928-9370. Or on Twitter, or on the text line. If you call, that's the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We already graded Yasmani Grandal and Rowdy Tellez. We're not going to have time to get through it all if we go as slowly as we did in the last segment. So let's go through a couple of guys that I think we can go a little bit quicker on here. Jared Triolo, who's hitting .212.
C-.
Oi.
C-, thrust it into a role again. I was very high on him this year. I thought that he was going to be the MVP of the team. I thought that it could go either way. I'm like, could he just be a utility guy and that's his best work as a player? And there's players who just are, hey, I'm at this position one day, this position another day, and that's just kind of how I operate. Or it's my opportunity to kind of just focus on one spot, and it kind of has went the first way.
Yeah.
I think he's just a utility guy that can be – you know, just like whenever he got moved to third, whenever Ke'Bryan Hayes was out, he got to move to a different spot, and it's kind of just new life for him. The new spot is new life for him, so that's why I give him a D plus because he was thrust into a role that, and he's just a utility player.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy where less is more. It looks like at this point, and he played a good third base when Key was out. You're right. They've even had him play shortstop from time to time. I think that kind of tells you about the roster construction, and he's been fine. He hasn't looked necessarily out of place there, but I can't go higher than a D on Jared Triolo, a guy that basically hit 300 for you last year and now has an OPS of 567.
I give him a C+. I think that he's been great defensively. I think he transitioned to second base well. I think what's holding him back is his offensive output, but I cannot underrate his ability to play defense after moving positions.
I mean, as we go through this to that point, Callis, like, they have some guys that fit in the same bucket. Like, Jared Triolo is a good defensive player, and you can move him around. Michael A. Taylor is an elite center fielder, but he's got an OPS of 500, and he's hitting 195. Ain't it just the Buccos' luck, guys, that Michael A. Taylor, who's this great defensive center fielder, hit 21 homers last year, and you're hoping you can get a little bit of offense from him, and you get none.
Mm.
Like, that's just the Pirates. Rowdy Tellez 2 years ago hits 35 homers or whatever it was, and then this year the guy stinks for two full-on months.
Of course.
You don't get any luck. But you also, in a way, get what you pay for. So that's Jared Triolo. Key Brian Hayes.
Oh. D+. I'm D+ for a lot of guys. D+, because, you know, whenever you get a D+, you're like, I'm almost at a C. And at a C is being average. And that's where a lot of these guys are. We need them to be average. They haven't played to their at least average self, and a lot of them haven't played over average. But at least if they get to average, this is why I'm giving the D-plus kind of grade here for most guys, is that if they get to average, they're going to be a decent team.
Yes. Yeah, we don't even need Key to be the guy he was for 2 months last year. Can you just be average?
Can you be a C-plus player?
Yeah.
So you're a D-plus player. There's been some fielding errors, too.
Yeah, he has not been as crisp in the field as he was before.
Right. I know he has a back issue. He's been hurt, and he hasn't really hit at the plate. So, yeah, D+.
I mean, I go F on the guy.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I got to go F because I wasn't necessarily expecting what you got from the final 2 months last year, but I thought he was on the upward trajectory. Like, I didn't think it was just he got hot. I thought he was sort of starting to arrive at the plate and the toe tap and Nunnally and all that stuff, and he has underperformed by 19% at the plate for that position. And while he is a good defender, a great defender, he has not been as good this year.
C-.
You are very easy on these guys.
Why?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, if we're talking about expectations, like, we expected him to
have.
He's
one of the few guys they've paid.
He's making $70 million.
Yeah, so he's just under meeting expectations.
Can you get him to a 700 OPS? Can we get there? Can you get him to league average? Because, again, he's 19% below league average at the plate. I know he's not making a ton of money in, like, baseball circles, but for the Pirates, $70 million, you need the guy to hit a little bit. And with power, he's got 3 home runs at a corner infield spot. Think about what they got from their corner infield this year, and yet they're a half game out of the wild card. That's what gives me a little bit of hope. They have 3 home runs from Key Brian Hayes, and Jared Triolo has also played some third. You got 3 from him. So 6 home runs from third base, if you want to say Triolo, okay, third. At first base, Rowdy Tellez has hit 2 home runs. And Connor Joe, who was really good early, he has hit 7 home runs. So you've got like 16 homers combined from your corner infield spots.
Yeah, but I'm not judging him based on how many home runs he hit. I'm judging him based on the expectations that we have. I thought that was the...
Okay, well, your expectations then need to be higher.
If we're talking about overall output contributing to the team, I would give him a D average.
He's got a .238 batting average, Cal.
We're talking about expectations.
You expected him to hit .238?
Yeah, .250-ish. So he's almost, that's what I'm saying, he's almost to where I expected him to be. So C-.
Key Brian Hayes last year hit .271 with a .762 on OPS, excuse me. He had an OPS 130 points higher than what it is right now. Like, that's not good enough. Even in 2022, he didn't hit. He had a higher OPS than he has now. In 2021, he didn't really hit all that well. And he had a 50-point higher OPS than he has right now. He has been a profound disappointment, Key Brian Hayes has.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do some of the positives. Because this is a team that's half a game out. Like, it is remarkable that they have had so many guys not live up to expectation level, and yet they are just 2 games under .500.
I mean, is it remarkable, or is it right in staring us in the face, though?
Well, it's frustrating is what it is.
It's frustrating, yes.
Yeah.
But we kind of know the reason why.
Andy Haynes? Oh, the pitching's kept them afloat. Yeah, it has. And that's what Wehner was saying the other day. Like, you can stay in it. You can stay on the straight and narrow with your pitching. But if you're going to go on a run, you've got to score some runs.
Yes.
And... they're not, And we have asked them to make moves, and I still have some faith that they're going to make moves. But if Hayes was even an average player, if Telez was even an average player, if they got slightly below average from the catcher position and not just woefully below average, where would this team be right now? They'd be in a playoff spot. When we come back, because I want to spend a lot of time on these next couple of guys, Brian Reynolds and Andrew McCutchen. Like, how do we grade these dudes? Because Brian Reynolds has been really good of late, but also was just so-so the first 2 months of the season. Chime in, 412-928-9370. We're grading buckos for this hour. The Penguins made an interesting move. We'll get to that in the 8 o'clock hour. Some Steelers stuff as well. A fun Friday show planned for you. Real quick before we keep grading the Pirates at darn near the midway point. The Washington Capitals recently traded for Pierre-Luc Dubois, Doran, who last season had 40 points. In 82 games, Connor McDavid has 42 points in 23 playoff
Oh, my goodness.
Just to underscore the greatness of that dude. And I didn't want to root for him. I can't help but root for Connor McDavid right now with what he's doing. He's just absolutely spectacular. You know who's kind of been spectacular this year for the Pirates? And I will actually give a guy an A, is Andrew McCutchen. I know he got off to not the greatest start. And who would have thunk I'd say this at this particular point, but he has the ninth best OPS on base plus slugging of any designated hitter in the league, not just the National League, in the entire league. And when you break it down from a home run perspective, he's ninth in homers with 10 at the DH spot, and he's making $5 million. And I thought if he was an average player, he'd be, for that price, good value. He's been a top third of the league designated hitter this year.
How can you argue? I can't argue that. I can't argue an A for Andrew McCutchen. I mean, just at his age and just thinking he was going to be a player that people were just going to want to see because he's at the end of his career and go to the ballpark. Like, he's actually being, you know, one of the top echelons of players on this team and helping them stay afloat right now. Andrew McCutchen has been fantastic. Would like to see him play in the field a little bit, or in the outfield a little bit.
That would be my one knock. I almost said that.
And I think it almost handcuffs them of making a move, which is not going to be a popular take around probably Pittsburgh because it's Andrew McCutchen. But realistically, he's handcuffing the Pirates of possibly trading for a better bat.
Yeah, you're right about that. If you could slide him to the outfield and think he's just going to be okay in right field.
Right.
I mean, play him. I wonder how much he wants to or doesn't want
all.
To. Yeah.
Would you? At 37?
No.
Run around and stand out there?
You got to know. He knows better than anybody what his legs are.
Yeah.
Now, if he were to do it, I'd just have him do it at home, short porch and right. Not a ton of ground to cover at PNC Park. And then on the road, maybe not so much. If you could do that three times a week, though, would make a big difference because you could bring in a designated hitter who could play a little outfield, or could play a little first base. It does box them in a little bit. How about Brian Reynolds?
A.
This will be my unpopular one. I'm going to go C.
C?
Yeah. If he, and this is not really how it works. I mean, there's 162 games. That's why it's batting average. Because baseball is the biggest of big sample size sports. You're going to go through slumps. You're going to have good luck. You're going to have bad luck. But over 162 games, it's going to tell the full story of really who and what you are. How many games they lose early on in the season, though, one score games you're not hitting because Brian Reynolds was just okay. And now he wins them the game the other day. Maybe C's a little too harsh because of where he stands in the National League outfielder statistics, where he's basically top five in everything. C plus, B minus. I wish he would have been a little bit better the first 2 months. Maybe you could have snuck a win or two in there that was a loss, and then you're two games over 500, and maybe you're in a playoff spot right now. But I can't really complain for a guy that's on an 18-game hitting streak.
Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, it's one thing to get hot, but he's more than hot. He's on fire.
He is on fire.
On fire. I mean, 18 games, that's just, and you just know it too. Like, he's feeling it. He can see the ball. He's in sync. Like, okay, like, you know, he didn't do as well in the beginning of the season, like you're saying, but we expected him to pick it up like he does every year around this time, and he has.
He has. That's true.
Yeah.
That's kind of been his MO.
Right.
Last season when he was negotiating the contract, he was like on an MVP pace the first 2 weeks of the season, and then he slowed down, and then he picked it back up again later on in the year. It's just what he is. But at $100 million, I wish he was a little bit better when he wasn't at his best, if that makes sense.
Because
when he's at his best, he's elite. And it winds up lifting his numbers for the rest of the season. If he could just be a little bit better when he's not playing his best ball, that would be more of in line with what a $100 million player is for the Pirates for me. Jack Sawinski.
F.
Yeah.
Absolute F.
I mean, I think we're getting close to give up time on this guy.
Yep.
When you're hitting 174 with a 65 OPS plus, you're 35% below league average, and he doesn't play great defensively in center field. He has been horrific this year. And it's not a guy who's playing poorly that you didn't expect much from. If you would have told me coming into the year that Jack Sawinski would lead the Pirates in home runs this season, I would have believed it. He hit 26 last year, and he's nowhere close to that pace this year. Callis?
I give him an A. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm being unbiased. No, I agree with Doran. I give him an F. Because you feel like at this point in his career, too, he was supposed to be one of those power guys for you. That's where he was when they traded for him. That was one of his big scouting reports, was that he was the power guy, and he's not being the power guy.
No, he has been disastrous to the point where they pinch hit him the other day and I wanted to turn the game off. What are you looking at?
Nothing.
What's happening?
Nothing.
Something caught your eye?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Someone walking down the hallway, shiny object.
Turn around.
There's people at the door. Do we know who those people are?
I don't think so.
Okay, very good. Callis, don't let him in. I sniffed again. I think it's a nervous tick at this point.
I mean, Sawinski being sent down, I think that maybe I can get to F minus because he got brought back up because they needed him.
He got brought back up too soon.
Too soon, yeah. I could maybe get there, but that's it.
So that's kind of, it's not the same level of screw upness, for lack of a better way of saying it, that Henry Davis is and was. But they even admitted when he got recalled that he had not achieved what they wanted him to down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you send him back. Like, now you're burning options. I wonder how long they would have had him stay down there if not necessity.
He'd still be there.
I think he would be.
Yeah, for a while.
And he's not even getting consistent at-bats up here. And I get the necessity deal, I suppose, but how do you expect a guy to hit his way out of it? You're not going to play him against lefties. You're playing him sparingly. I'm almost waving the white flag on him. And it's a shame because everything you hear about the guy is he's a nice kid, that he works hard. The power is tantalizing. The short stroke. When he got hot last year, he would do it for weeks and he would carry the offense. And then, of course, he hit the doldrums. We're not even seeing him come close to having like a breakout. Like, it's just not, it just doesn't look like it's in there with him. All right, let's look at pitching coming up next. Real quick, Derek Shelton. I don't know if it's fair to go real quick.
We might. C.
I go C.
C.
Because, go ahead.
C minus.
Oh, so you're actually harder on him though. I feel like we've been the easier graders.
Right.
Yeah, I just think that.
Well, the harder graders, you've been the easier one.
If we're talking about meeting expectations again, I think that he's done a lot of what we've expected, but, and then in terms of performance, I don't think that many of his decisions have been logical, and his explanations haven't been sufficed.
So
I give him slightly below average for my expectations of what I thought he would do.
The explanations have been really bad. Like, when he was on with Starkey and Zeiss the other day, and he was asked about that getaway lineup in St. Louis, he didn't have any rhyme or reason for it, and stuff like that's going to drive you crazy. And you can look at some games in particular and some decisions in particular from Derek Shelton and say, if you did X, Y, or Z, the Pirates might be above 500. But at the same time, out of the other side of our mouth, we're saying they need to add to the roster because the roster is not good enough. So I don't think he's done a good job. I think at times he's done a bad job, but the roster is also not great. So it's a curious case for me, and I think you can only land in the C range with him. I think a lot of people would say Andy Haynes isn't doing a good enough job. Oscar Marine, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you can argue he's doing a bad job.
He's going to be like J.J. Redick this year, coaching the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. It's like, oh, here's the ball.
Here's Paul Skeens. Kind of like my guy Mazzulla with the Celtics.
Yeah, a little bit.
hey, you've got this great team. Don't screw it up. That's kind of Oscar Marine, but we have criticized the Pirates in the past for screwing guys up. I'd probably give him a C+ or something like that. Who are the pitchers that are performing below expectations? Who are the guys going above expectation? We'll get to that coming up next. Is a big Penguins move coming? We'll talk about that in 10 minutes. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're grading the Pirates at almost the midway point. This just felt like a good time to do that. They were off yesterday, and we want to talk about Bucco baseball as they're in the throngs of a playoff chase here, just a half game out of a wild card spot. And we did a lot of the hitters. Let's do some of the pitchers here, and we can kind of go rapid fire through this. I want to see if you guys agree. Hey, can you give Mitch Keller lower than an A?
No.
I don't think so.
Almost A+.
Yeah. He's top 10 in the league in innings. He's 13th in the NL in ERA. He has had a better ERA since Skeens was called up than even the great Paul Skeens. Can you quibble with that, Callis, or do you go A on Mitch Keller?
I'd give him an A. I give him an A-, because he's exceeding expectations.
Last year, through 15 starts when he was an all-star, he had a 3.65 ERA. This year, it's a 3.11 ERA. And I'm the guy who was down on him to start the year. So maybe that factors into my A.
But we're talking about like what we're expecting, too. And I think he struggled the second half of last year. So if I'm comparing what he did in the second half of last year to how he's begun this year, hoping that that will continue, I would say that he's done. I mean, he makes the rotation that much more elite when he's on.
No doubt. And he has to, because at times they're going to hold back some of their starters, their young starters, because of pitch counts and innings limits and stuff like that.
I'd argue he's worth his contract as well at this point.
No question.
No doubt.
Through this time, if you had to ask.
No doubt.
Bailey Falter has to be an A, right?
Yes.
A+.
Maybe, yeah.
I won't argue.
I won't argue that.
I will not.
Did you expect him to be on the roster this year with Paul Skeens and Leo Blooming? That's what I'm saying.
Crowley was up.
You expected next to nothing from him.
You were upset about Bailey Falter.
I did say this. Every time they won with him on the mound, I said they're getting away with one. They're stealing wins at this point. And now he's just been good.
Yep.
Without looking, Callis, who's got a lower ERA, Bailey Falter or Jared Jones?
Falter.
He does. 3.74, and Jared Jones a 3.76.
Jones has had too many three-run starts.
He has been not as good of late. In June, his ERA is in the mid-fours. How do we grade Jared Jones?
A-.
I agree.
Wasn't expecting this at all.
Yes.
And that's kind of where I stand. Yeah, he's going to be human at sometimes, and he's going to come down to earth sometimes, and you can expect that, but I just didn't expect, or nobody expected him to be what he was to start the season.
No way. No way. I'm beaming from ear to ear right now, because we knew this, but like this has been instructional in that a lot of the hitters, C-, D, F range. And the three starters so far, A+, A-. And I would say Paul Skeens has to be an A+. I think Paul Skeens has outperformed even the lofty expectations that were set for him.
No doubt. That's Crowley coughing.
Hakatua is what that was right there.
You don't want to say that.
What do you mean? A little bit of phlegm coming up there.
Mm.
David Bednar.
B.
I think that's fair. Like, to expect a closer to go three straight years and go wire to wire and be elite, that does not happen.
Right.
And you're not Mariano Rivera. You're not Trevor Hoffman. You're not, name elite reliever here, Billy Wagner. Like, guys are going to have down periods. His lasted a couple of weeks, and since then, he's been elite, but you can't forget about the first couple of weeks, because if he closed some games out, then they'd be a couple of games above 500. I think B's about right. Chapman, similarly, you know, he was really good, and then really not, and then he's been really good of late. I think I would probably go B- on Chapman.
I was going to say C+, B-.
And Colin Holderman has to be an A.
Yep.
He's got an ERA of 0.7, for God's sakes. Just stellar. But there have been some failures, like Roansy Contreras. They said goodbye to him.
Quinn Priester,
better than last year, but also not good, and then he's been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I would give Luis Ortiz a B. I might even give him a B+. I mean, he's got a 2.51 ERA.
Yeah.
And of late, he's basically been their fifth starter.
But I think they've done a good job of not making him the actual starter, but making him the platoon, I guess, starter, the bullpen starter.
Yeah.
And that's his best work. Like, they knew that he only has a certain amount of innings, and they have to, you know, platoon it behind him
uh-huh.
for him to get to maximize the efficiency of what he's doing. And I think they did a good job with moving him from being a starter from last year to, you know, kind of a starter.
I would agree with that because I want him to just be the fifth starter.
Right.
But, you know, one of the explanations that Shelton actually made a lot of sense in, because we've been critical of him sometimes not having rhyme or reason, or at least announcing rhyme or reason for why he makes moves. He said he likes Luis Ortiz in the role he's in because you get to be thoughtful about when you insert him into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So if Majinski gets, and I'm crushing his name now, baby.
Yeah,
I have nailed it.
You got it. You feel it.
They're in the pennant race, and I feel good. So Majinski, you know, if he goes 1 1/3 and you feel like you've got an advantageous matchup for Luis Ortiz, you plop him in then. Or if he goes 1 2/3, or if he goes 2 1/3. Like, I do like that. And I think that's what they're going to do tonight. And you said you saw someone post that. I don't know. I might text Noah Hyles or Jason Mackey and see what they're doing tonight.
Right.
For a bullpen
game. I'm pretty sure it's Ortiz.
I think you're right about that. All right, coming up next, that was fun. Full hour of Bucco talk for the people out there, Norm. Big series starting tonight. We might revisit them a little bit later on in the show because there are a couple of players we did not grade. So we have that in our quiver if we need it. But coming up next, the Penguins made a curious move yesterday. And does it mean a bigger move is on the way? We dive in. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. High today of 94.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.